Every time I think of an intro, I always just go, because I don't necessarily think of like an intro to actually talking. I just go, how can I merge a song? Oh, how can I merge one song into the Talking Heads song that we use?
Hell yeah. Yeah, for mine, it's how can I merge this show and this show title into the Cleveland show?
That has become your new bit.
It has. It has. My name is Peacemaker. Eric, Levi. The happiest can be in lifting situations. Putting MOT. Breaking news! Racist peacemaker villain decides bugs don't deserve to be leaders? Racist hero, in quotation marks, peacemaker decides maybe the president isn't allowed to be a bug. That's fucked up.
We're listening, we're watching, and we are holding Peacemaker accountable.
We are holding Peacemaker accountable.
One way in which we will do that is to send him to a Supermax prison and using him for dangerous, maybe illegal black ops missions for the United States government.
Welcome to TV for White People.
I'm Levi.
And I'm Eric.
And today, we're talking about superheroes.
Yeah, we finally found another superhero show so that we can inevitably talk about Marvel.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I bought a Namor comic today. I bought two Namor comics today. And man, I should show you the cover to them. Yeah. I should show you the cover to them because it's so good. It's 8 and 9 from the year 1990, in case the comic heads are out. And it's this lady who looks like this pale white Andy Warhol with giant razor blades on her fingertips.
Damn.
This lady's Headhunter, Heads I Win, and Head Games.
Oh, man.
8 and 9. Yeah, that, I sent it to you on Facebook, but it looks so good, and then I looked in the comics, and she's not in the first one, and in the second, she doesn't use the little things she has. Also, on the inside, the second one's called Skull Orchard anyway, so it's weird on the outside it calls it something else.
Damn.
But yeah, she just doesn't use it. I'm like, damn, 1990 tricked me one more time.
that's why you don't judge a book by its cover, Levi.
That's true.
Even a comic book.
Yeah, but Marvel aside, this is a DC day.
Yeah, we're talking DC.
We're talking DC.
People don't soy face about DC very often. I feel like
I do it all the time.
I feel like soy facing is reserved for Marvel, and for DC, the fans of DC are much more serious, somber folk.
Yeah. Fans of DC are mature. That's why we get characters like Deathstroke and Lobo.
Hey,
it's so cool.
Don't talk shit about Lobo.
I have so many Lobo comics from when I was in middle school. I need to find out what to do with them. It's so cool there's a character named Deathstroke the Terminator. Like, you know, you gotta give them credit for trying. You really do. They did go as far as they could with that name. You know, there's a character named Deathstroke the Terminator, but there's no character named Christstroke the Revelator. And that tells you all you need to know about DC Comics.
That's an amazing superhero name, to be honest. I do kind of like that.
Hell yeah, dude. That's what I'm saying.
we just take Deadpool, Bloodsport, and Deathstroke and combine them all into one guy. this is our answer to Marvel and DC making superheroes that are parodies of the other company's superhero.
That's right. That's right. Hell yeah. So we're talking about Peacemaker, a man born from the head of the clan.
Yeah.
Do you really Which is true do you to the. Really
God damn, the intro's so good. Do you really wanna, do you really wanna taste it?
Intro is very good. It's
you can't argue with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like TV shows recently have been like, we need to make a theme that people don't want to just skip. Like, for the longest time, the best you could get with the intro to a show is that the song would just be good. Like, if you were like, we're going to make a good intro.
Like the Cleveland Show.
Or, I was going to say...
The Golden Standard, as it's been called amongst television connoisseurs.
I was going to... The Cleveland Show. I was going to perhaps suggest SVU as a prime example.
Oh, SVU.
Not really much to look at, but...
Yeah, the song is one of the greatest you've ever heard.
Yeah. But...
There was a time I was just listening to that all the fucking time.
James Gunn decided maybe he would do a little bit of mix and match, and he'd give you some visuals to look at while you listen to an okay song.
Yeah. It's so good, man. You know, even if this show was fully just, like, Nazi propaganda, mm-hmm. you'd have to recommend it. That's how good the intro is.
Yeah.
No matter how bad you think the show is, you see that intro, you're in. You're like, all right, it's at least a C.
Yeah. Another show that comes to mind, which is actually animated, but another show that comes to mind that has a very fun intro is Super Crooks on Netflix.
I need to watch Super Crooks.
It's very fun, but the intro is, it's very good. It's like really good funky beat music. And then, like, mm-hmm. a very high-quality animated sort of, like, you know, here's all the characters walking into frame and they're dancing. So not quite Peacemaker, but kind of the same idea. But it's, you know, gives you something fun to look at, gives you a nice song to listen to. Maybe a song you might go, hey, I'll put this on my playlist on Spotify.
Yeah.
Listen to this every day in the car.
Peacemaker is weird because it's like Suicide Squad, where you can't... Gunn's politics in these shows are weird in that on a level, they seem right, but then they feel wrong too.
Wait, you said...
Because...
It sounds like you started to say guns and then just transferred to politics. Unless you mean gun politics, in which case you will have
no,
to elaborate.
No, James Gunn.
Okay, James Gunn's politics.
Yeah, Gunn the... Not creator, but writer, director. I guess creator in this instance.
I think he's also the writer.
Yeah, he wrote the creator first, at least. Yeah. But... Because it's like the first... is about, it has a level to it about how we in America use third world countries to export our torture and our criminality, and then when those countries disrupt and people are harmed there, we also use that as a good thing for us. And that's kind of what they're fighting in that. They're fighting, like, American imperialism. And that's weird in that Hollywood created that, right? It's weird that that happened in Hollywood. A movie recognized that. But there's also a level to it where the movie also seems like, yeah, but I mean, fuck this country, right? Don't you think this country should fucking still be destroyed?
Yeah, like, it's a weird place that... that I guess you could say culture, American culture, or just capitalism. It's like, it's kind of like how there's no such thing as an anti-war movie. It's like, there's no real criticism of this stuff. But then, like, the people who are even pretending to criticize it can't even do it for that long before they're like, well if I say the name of a foreign country, I might get sick. You know?
Yeah,
that's how
some
of these people are. Hollywood
writers.
Exactly,
because it's like, because it seems like it's supposed to be Cuba or Venezuela in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But it's also somehow not supposed to be that.
It's like an island nation, so it seems almost like it's explicitly Cuba, since it's like, yeah, there was a CIA black site where we did science magic.
It's dressed up. Yeah, it's dressed up to be Cuba. But you go... Then after the turn, it's like, well, you're not gonna claim to me Castro is taking American money, which at this, well, who's, God, I forget who the new leader of Cuba is. is taking American money to like form our, because there are nations, of course, where we develop different methods of torture, different methods of war, all of this. So it's right in that degree. It's, again, it's just weird. It's combining all of the bad things, and then the good things are like, I don't know, maybe a superhero will save that nation. And you go, well, you don't think that. So, but then in this one, right, they, one thing they talk about is that there is a deep state.
you're talking Peacemaker?
Yeah, in this one, in Peacemaker, I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
This is the...
Well, one thing to talk about is that there is a deep state, yeah.
This is the thing that I sort of... Like, the sort of... I think, like, she does... The character's name is Harcourt. She's sort of, like, the quasi-love interest for Peacemaker. She does, right, at one point, kind of have to admit, like, you know, rather begrudgingly, yes, there is a deep state, but not the one you're talking about. Which is an idea that I sort of even fell upon in my own head like a while back when I started learning more about these things. I'm just like,
yeah,
oh, these were all like, well, it's like learning that these were all like leftist ideas before they got co-opted by weird right-wing freaks.
Yeah.
yeah, but just exactly. Being like, oh, there is a deep state. It's just not the one that they're talking about because they're insane.
Yeah, and it's all weird because, so... Peacemaker as a character is like, I'll kill for peace, but that peace is conditional when the peace is like the American way is what he means by peace, right? And that's what Peacemaker means, and that shows up in Suicide Squad, and it continues to show up in this one, kind of.
So it's interesting because, like, I think when they talked about when they talked to John Cena about playing the character, they described Peacemaker as like he's like Captain America if he was like a douchebag, which makes sense because Captain America is like the idealized version of the American way of like what people believe it to be, but like but not really. It's not really what it is, of course. We know that. Mm-hmm. But then Peacemaker is what you would think would be the flip side. Except he kind of believes himself to be Captain America anyways. He is still under the illusion that he's right. But he's a little bit closer to the actual American way. He's, you know, but like without like realizing exactly what he is, he's like, yeah, no, any murder is right. Like, I mean, he literally says, yeah, I'll kill any man, woman, or child to achieve peace.
Until the end, where he's grown, and in that growth, he betrays the world.
Yeah,
and stops a beautiful bug invasion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's basically like what you want in life is for bugs to take over.
Yeah, bugs are pretty cool.
So,
obviously, we're going to get into spoilers. I don't think anyone's worried about that. I don't think the 20 people in Mauritania who are listening to this are really worried about being spoiled at this point. But, I guess I'm in a weird place with the ending because I guess thinking about it, I do kind of understand it. It just seems weird. But, yeah, Peacemaker has given what he wants, peace, but instead chooses to kill the bugs. He's got to kill bugs.
Yeah. I think it's part of a darling process.
I think I know what
if you've
mean.
Ever written a character, oftentimes you have this moment where you start to darling them. And I think that kind of is what happened here. They kind of darlinged Peacemaker for themselves. And they couldn't just... Yeah,
yeah.
They couldn't just, like, accept these things. Even when they go and... Because they change a lot for Peacemaker. I think that it's starting to come back at the end to the kind of 80s and onwards Peacemaker of insane man who believes spirits reside in his helmet, which that's something they shouldn't have lost in Peacemaker.
I didn't know that about Peacemaker.
The Peacemaker,
but that
of
is
the
a
comics,
very
yeah.
interesting, or that's a very fun aspect.
Yeah, it's very fun and interesting because it's like Katana, where Katana believes that the spirits reside in her sword, except they do. With him, he's just a crazy guy who's like, no, man, you kill around me, they go into my helmet and they guide me sometimes. Everyone's like, what are you fucking talking about?
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, so it seems like that might be where they're starting to head back towards.
That definitely seems
like it. But in that case, why did they move away from it at this moment?
Well, you know, when you say that, it does kind of seem like that's what they're aiming towards, because when he kills his father, and when his father's ghost shows up to him in the forest, he shoots him with the blow dart, and then he falls down dead. But when he falls, you hear the sound of the helmet. I don't know if you picked that sound up, but he's clearly meant to have sort of sounded like his body landed on the helmet. So it's kind of the idea, even though Peacemaker doesn't notice at all. But the idea would be that the ghost is guiding him towards the helmet they're looking for.
Exactly.
But I don't know. Seems weird.
It's very strange. It's very... And then you get into that they made his father, which I kind of like this change in it, but that they made his father DC character White Devil, who is this, he is a White Devil.
White Devil or White Dragon?
As the church tells me. Is it not White Devil? Is it White Dragon?
He's White Dragon.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Which I don't know.
I don't know why it changed my mind. It changed my mind because he is a Yakubian White Devil. Yeah. And I do know that.
Yeah, but he is quite literally like a Grand Dragon.
Like Grand Dragon. But of course. That makes more sense.
But his own...
That makes more sense than him calling himself White Devil.
I don't know if that is what White Dragon is in the comics, but he is quite literally a clan wearing...
That's why it's...
Or clan hood.
I mean, that's why it's White Dragon.
Yeah.
Because he is a...
It is fun that
racist in the comics.
It is fun that he's developed like his own like this weird superhero offshoot of the KKK is like, well, we gotta make ourselves different. We got horns instead of just one one big cone head.
Yeah, instead of one cone. My belief is that the costume department didn't want to have to not get pillowcases.
That is what... Well, so that is what he looked like. I've seen comic book covers. That is what White Dragon looks like. He has two horns.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean the other...
But the other guys,
around him.
It does... It's like the perfect excuse. They're just like, well, look.
Yeah.
He's got horns. Why wouldn't they do it? And they're like, do these guys know how to sew? I feel like there's a general store where they get... There's a surplus store online where they can pick up the clan hoods they need. But they gotta make these.
The thing is, it makes sense that this would be a character who would be this abusive father to the lead, and who the lead is pushing back against, but he also wants to please this clansman father.
Well,
and the process is like, you know, even when you adopt some views of the clan, you can come out to be the good guy sometimes.
It's
just weird in that sense.
It's not that weird to me because it's capturing a bunch of these ideas of like abuse and whatnot of like,
clearly
his father is repellent to anyone else, but he's the only parental figure that he's ever had. So he still craves, you know, acceptance from him. And it also does the other thing, which is, if you don't cut out your family, it's entirely possible that you're willing to just sort of like see past their flaws because you love them. Your parents are racist, but you're like, well, you know, they're my parents. What am I going to do about it? And that's, you know, that's tough. I mean, not everyone is strong enough to just be like, I'm taking a stand right here. Peacemaker does by shooting his dad in the head, but
yeah, hell yeah.
But I don't think
and that
that's,
bit owns.
But even short of that, most people can't even muster. They're just willing to just totally let that shit ride. So it makes sense. It seems like so much more repellent. But then like Peacemaker himself is like a fucking dope. You know, like he is like entirely unaware of just how racist he is.
Yeah. See, that's the other part of it, that it's also, like, this beautiful, sweet, mwah, boy you want to kiss on the cheek is also a racist murderer.
But he doesn't even think of it that way because he's a moron.
Yes. Yes. Which, is part of this other strange aspect of making it so lighthearted. Because that's the same thing with Vigilante. And I mean, we have talked about my like for the Vigilante run in the 80s under, well, Moore had two really great comics, but mostly under Kupperberg, where, and both Vigilante and Peacemaker are kind of tragedy stories, but Vigilante more so, where the tragedy is about this guy who wants to be a superhero, but also is a killer and realizes at that there's like this just fault in him where he can't become a superhero because of this. And the end of it is, of course, his suicide. To kind of realize the only way to protect everyone he loves and cares about is his own death, and to take this idea of the vigilante out of the equation. But instead of this whole thing playing out like that, in this show, it's like, no, 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 he's a fun guy. He's just a psycho who kills people.
Yeah, they make him literally a sociopath.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, it's weird. Yeah, because Peacemaker is not a sociopath. You think of him that way if you watch Suicide Squad, but he's really just like extremely damaged.
It adds layers to him.
Yeah. It's not he's not a sociopath. He does have understanding of human emotions and whatnot. He was just raised to be insane. Whereas, like, yeah, Vigilante is just pure sociopath because he, you know, that's how he is. But then, like, he's also an idiot, and it's just fun and quirky about him, you know? He's just a fun, eccentric, quirky guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which also negates, like, this tragedy in Peacemaker 2, where he also wants to be this savior for everyone, right?
Yeah.
He wants to bring about peace, but he can't do it either because he's not a superhero at all. He's at best a soldier and at worst another psychopath, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it should be. But in this, it's like, no, no, no. He can save everyone from the aliens who might be the good guys, but he's decided they hurt his friends.
Yeah. He's basically like a black cape short of like a Flashpoint Paradox Thomas Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is literally Batman, but if Batman killed, which he does kill in the, what's his name? Ben Affleck Batman movie, or, well, Justice League.
God,
but
that's
yeah.
So, that's
which,
so annoying.
Which he just does without that. Even thinking about it. There's no attention really called to it at all. He's just like, yeah, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I'd like to do it actually in this one.
Yeah.
I never did watch that Snyder Justice League. Maybe I will. It's just, like, so long.
I saw it once.
I lied.
It's very long.
I'm not going to do it.
It's, yeah, no, yeah, you don't have to.
That's what
Oh, you mean the Snyder Cut. Yeah, I never saw that.
I never saw any of it.
You never saw the whole thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Man of Steel when that came out.
Yeah, which, shit, that movie is, like, you look at what people thought about.
Yeah, that was, like, freshman, sophomore in high school.
Yeah, you look back at what people thought about that fucking movie when it came out, and then you're just like, well, get a load of what's in store for you, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
It's not gonna get any better from here.
Yeah, I remember people liking it, but I never did that one. Mostly because it was just colorless.
That's
you get me to dislike a movie.
Well, that's part of why people don't like it, but also that was DC trying to set up its own little thing and answer to, well, Warner Brothers, but yeah, trying to set up its own thing and answer to the Marvel Universe stuff, Cinematic Universe stuff. So, but what I said back then was like, you guys are just they're trying to rush to the Justice League. I'm like, sorry guys, you have to do the Marvel formula, which includes a 10-year buildup. You're not gonna be able to do this.
You do have to take your time with
it. Yeah, you can't
do
it in 3 years.
It was kind of cool that they did just do like 3 movies and then Justice League.
Yeah.
That was kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, hey, props to them. They figure in doing that, they push themselves to realize that what will work for them is just to let assholes make their movies. Just let anyone make their movies.
Which is why
we're
gonna get fun goth Batman.
Yeah, no, there doesn't. You don't need to have continuity because I feel like they probably just looked at what, you know, what was really required, and not to mention like they just saw what their thing was as a failure and went like, all right, well, fuck it. People will come and see a Batman movie. It doesn't have to make $7 billion, be the highest grossing movie of all time every single time they come out, but we can still make movies that make like almost $1 billion.
I only ever saw Man of Steel, and part of that was that one just again had no color, so I was like, well, I'm not gonna watch any more of this. I did see Joker with you. But
that's a good
movie. Like Batman versus Superman, I actually did like it. But with the other ones, like Batman versus Superman and Justice League, the thing about those is like, it's repugnant to me to make a Batman who kills. I fucking hate that idea. Everyone's like, and it even comes up in Peacemaker. Everyone's like, if Batman killed Joker, it would solve everything. And they're right, but it's like, well, that's because people need to stop using Joker and things.
Because like that idea is basically when you're sitting there arguing for like a fictional character, you're like, well, think of all the people who'd be saved if Batman did this. It's like, okay, well, you are a real person arguing for the ethics of a fictional person. It's different when Red Hood does it. That's a completely different deal, because then you're writing you're making a story, but you being like, just think of all the innocents that would be saved. It's like, well, they're not real innocents, and that's the whole point.
Oh, what if my real world exactly. It's why Superman doesn't kill either. These aren't real people. At its most romantic, what you could say is, like, these are ideals to live up to. I don't even really believe that. It's just, like,
but it's
that's
what,
just
it's
not
what, some
what that character
thought.
Is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And for reason I understand, of course. Like, I understand why you'd go, like, Superman is the best of us. Whatever. It's, again, I go, he's still fake. But I get it. And it's the same for Batman. It's why it's like, no, of course he shouldn't fucking kill. I get, and I also get making Batman, like, in Wonder Woman, Hyketia, this kind of psycho who's just like, no, I need to get this one specific person, this one specific criminal, arrested. That's my job. Like, yeah, I get making even that kind of psycho. But a psycho who kills is just like, that's too far. Like, that's just not who
It also, at this point, is the same as 48 other psychos that both Marvel and DC have written.
Yeah, and I've talked to you about that, too.
Yeah.
I've talked to you about that, too. It's like, there's so many other guys who are Batman that kills. You maybe just want a Punisher story.
Yeah, I think people just kind of, like, they just really fall for the aesthetics of Batman. But you're like, yeah, no, if you want him to kill, like... I'm sorry that Punisher doesn't wear like a bat costume, but that's what you're asking for. Oh, he's got gadgets. Like, I don't give a shit. That's not really the point.
And again, like, Vigilante is a really good antithesis to this, of this tragedy of a character who thinks, basically in that line of, comes to think like, I'll be Batman, but I'll kill, and goes like, oh no, this is a terrible thing, actually. This is a bad idea, and then kills himself. Or if you want a lighter version of that, there is Spectacular Spider-Man, of course Marvel, but same thing, whatever. Where Spectacular Spider-Man is when Dr. Octavius comes to take over the body of Peter Parker.
I thought that was,
and become Spider-Man.
I thought that was
superior. You're right. Yeah. It's superior. I'm sorry. They're both S words. Yeah, Superior Spider-Man. Dr. Octavius comes to take over Peter Parker's body and is like, well, then I'll be Spider-Man, but better. I'll be superior. And you go, shut up.
You're like, is Dr. Octavius aware of Amazing, Ultimate, Spectacular? Is he aware of these
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he's like, I'll be Superior Spider-Man and everyone will love me. And so he put scary claws on the Spider-Man outfit. And everyone's like, Spider-Man's a psycho now. And he, like, kills some guys who were robbing a bank. And nobody likes it. And he's like, I don't get why everyone hates me now.
What is these guys' deal? A few things.
What is everyone's deal? I killed the people who were bad. And everyone's like, no, dude, you're a psycho, dude. What's wrong with you?
I do have a few
thoughts. You're scary.
I do have a few thoughts on this comic thing. Because we live in a world right now where, like, 98% of the media you consume is going to be something that is marketed towards children, basically. If it's not a Star Wars, it's a Marvel. And then there's a DC, but then you're like, well, even if Snyder wants to make his dramatic black and white serious 4.5 hour long DC movie, it's still in the end a marketing scheme for toys for children.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets kind of weird, is it's like, well, yeah, no, they're not going to make the superheroes murder because, again, it's for kids. But it's also just like, even if you wanted to think that it's not for kids, it's not interesting. There's nothing interesting about it. It's like, oh yeah, what if at the end of the day, what if the heroes took the shortest fucking path to their goal? Yeah, what a great story. What if all movies were only 20 minutes long because there was no conflict at all? Like, yeah, that's the point. Like, people just don't think about, like, how it looks when you write it. It's like
you should just blast them. Like,
it's like there's a reason why your comic book would not be interesting if you wrote it, because you're like, what if Batman just fucking killed them all? It's like, yeah, no. When you see what the world looks like in Flashpoint Paradox, and Batman is a Batman who kills, it's just another. It's basically just like another result to show you, like, how bad the world is. It's not like, whoa, things are so much cooler here. It's like, no, things are bad. Things are fucked up. This is all meant to show Flash how fucking bad things are if he gets his way. Which, I guess you, Flash.
Or take Batman but darker in some of Frank Miller's worst writing, All-Star Batman and Robin. The one, what are you, Dince? Are you Arsler or something? I'm the goddamn Batman.
Yeah.
That one. Like, yeah, no, is that really what you want out of this character?
Yeah.
Do you want this? No, you don't, you fucking idiot. Come on.
So at the end of the day, what people want is just to see, you know, a bunch of, well, I mean, these types of people, I guess, just want to see, like, a bunch of violence for no reason. But it's like, okay, well, like, you know, they'll make another Mortal Kombat movie, you know, like, you'll get what you want. But that's not really the point. Like, yeah, you're going to get, like, a flashy warehouse clearing scene, like in Batman versus Superman, and that's going to rock. But at the end of the day, that you can't make a movie that's 90 minutes of that. I mean, well, you can, but it's called, like, The Raid.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. You know, we've been talking about it's all for kids, but you can't convince me that that fucking Snyder Cut shit was made for anyone.
Well,
I don't know who that's for.
I mean,
I can't, like, believe there are people who watch that shit. And it's gonna be me someday when I grow powerful enough.
I joke that it's for kids, but it's like, it's comic books that are becoming all media. So it's like, of course they have to be for adults. Like, this piece, you can't argue that this Peacemaker show is marketed for adults or for kids. Like, of course it's for adults. But in a perfect world, it wouldn't be.
You know? Because I joked about not liking Man of Steel because it had no color in it. It is funny that it's like, well, I liked Peacemaker, and that show had bright lights and colors. It really is. Well, damn, man, I'm part moth.
I was just saying, well, yeah, I can't remember if I said this on mic or not, but it's like, DC figured out the solution. Just hire some Marvel writers. Like, make it fun. It's comic books. It can be fun and flashy. And
Joker was a funny movie.
And that's some of the fun stuff about the Suicide Squad movies. That's like the difference between these two Suicide Squad movies is one wants to take these goofy characters and turn them into fucking, like, dramatic whatever bullshit. But it's like, you can have that, but it, like, you have to realize that you're dealing with, like, Harley Quinn. Like, the Joker.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why the second one is much better and more entertaining.
That Air, I remember seeing it in theaters, and it was just the worst shit we've gone to. That was awful. So awesome. Yeah. Yeah, but then, like, the second one, you're right, was actually good and fun. And yeah. Birds of Prey, the same thing. Birds of Prey is maybe my favorite of the superhero movies that have come out.
Yeah.
And what is it? It's flashy, it's bright, there's colors, and it's funny.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think these people are, like, they're just not very self-aware of what it is that they're working with. At the end of the day,
yeah.
You need to acknowledge what the material is. And if you're working with shit that's based off comic books, then you're gonna have to lean into that a little bit. You're not gonna make fucking There Will Be Blood out of fucking Batman and Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. But you can make something that's just as entertaining.
The thing is, yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, it still can be, like, artsy. All of these comics are great. Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman is so good, and what does it do? It leans into being a Superman comic.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to actually fucking have a love for this shit.
To be honest, I think that the worst thing to happen to comics, or, well, comic book movies, and this is just, you know, the worst sort of thing that could happen, that did happen to comic book movies, is the Nolan Dark Knight movies.
They really
poisoned the well. Because, like, those movies were successful, and, like, everyone loves Dark Knight, and to varying degrees, people love Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises, but those movies did really well at what they were, because, you know, they had a competent, director behind them. And there you go. But now everyone wants to fucking capture that. Everyone's like, it's like, oh my god, we're gonna do our own take on the Joker. We're gonna do a serious story.
And which
it's
you
like,
shouldn't do.
No. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Nolan made a Nolan movie with Batman in it. Like, that's what that is.
Phillips made a Scorsese movie with a Joker in it. Phillips made two Scorsese movies with a Joker in it.
Yeah.
The thing about Todd Phillips, the Joker, the reason it was good is because it made Joker as a character interesting for the first time since Killing Joke in the 80s.
Yeah, I think, like, a lot of people just kind of, when they put these characters in, they're just like, yeah, and then they'll write themselves. And it's like, no, you still have to do a little bit of work. I'm sorry you have to come to the office, you fucker.
Exactly. That's what they did with Wolverine in the 90s to the 2000s, and sometimes still now. That's what they did with Deadpool in especially the 2010s.
Yeah.
Still kind of now.
These fucking writers don't want to do their fucking jobs.
They just put something in and are like, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, exactly.
but
we got off track of Peacemaker. Which, again, I still think, like, it's too saccharine on a level. It's not that it shouldn't ever be fun and shouldn't ever have bright lights and colors, because I just said I like that shit, but there is a level that the thing is, it's like, well, what is this about? And it doesn't seem to have an answer outside of of course the plot of just, like, I don't know, aliens and shit.
Yeah.
And you go, all right, that's cool and all, but
yeah,
also,
it does,
again, what is it about when it's about a guy who's like, America is good and peace?
Yeah. I mean, from what I've read, the idea came from, like, you know, they grew an arc out of Peacemaker having to confront, you know, his killing of Rick Flag. He has to.
Yeah, John Cena was available, and they wanted to make more with Peacemaker because people liked him.
Yeah. So he has to confront his own ideology, you know, conflicting with his killing of what he perceives to be an actual American hero.
Yes.
And that's where the arc comes in. And so it's like, it's Peacemaker, you know, learning something. he's learning that maybe there's nuance to his mission in some way. Maybe not every death is earned. I don't, you know, towards the end, it does seem to muddy the waters a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't both have him fold into the original Peacemaker character as well as have him decide, actually, I was wrong and I don't need to complete this mission. Like, it doesn't make sense to have these two things simultaneously. It's trying to have the cake and eat it too, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's what a lot of stuff has run into lately, is, like, trying to have it both ways. I feel like we were just talking about a show a little while ago that I was saying the exact same thing of just like, it's just trying to get all of it. It can't, it doesn't, it wants to have the lesson, but it also wants to do the stupid bullshit that it wants to do.
Oh, dude, I know what show it was. It was Cleveland Show.
You see, they want Cleveland to live on his own street and have his own family, but they don't want to make him a family guy.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit. They have to do cutaways.
Yeah, so, like, that is, again, I think it's just they darlingsed him. They darlingsed him so they weren't prepared to actually confront these things in the way that, like, it seems like Gunn kind of wants to, especially from that Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
Even when, again, there were problems with that.
Yeah. I was asking you before we got on mic, like, is this a case of rehabilitating war criminals? And it's kind of difficult to say because it's not like they just because I feel like usually what ends up happening is when we talk about like rehabilitating war criminals, which is less of a trope than like something that Western media tries to do for like George Bush, but normally the idea is just, well, we'll just plant him in the story and now he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Loki did that. Yeah, for instance,
what's happening is that they're sort of exploring the character, which I mean, you know, they have basically created a backstory for this, you know, for this whole thing.
Yeah, a new one. Yeah.
But yeah, they take like a very obnoxious character, and they go, well, maybe you should understand why he's obnoxious. And their idea is, well, we don't want to make him not that anymore. We still want him to be what he is in what you saw in the movie, but we're going to explain why that is so that you don't just think he's an outright villain. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but I mean, you know, you're probably going to get some perspectives changed of maybe this character, but then also they take it a step further by being like, well, no, he's just not going to be an asshole anymore. He's going to try to give up the goat.
Now he's a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, that's why I say it's a little complicated, because it's not like they just do it. They try to earn it. They try to earn the rehabilitation by explaining that he is making him cry once.
Yeah. They go, he's actually sad he killed Rick Flag. And it's like, well, yeah, but he's a dick. So like, he shouldn't have done that. I don't know. What do you want me to say to him? Oh, now suddenly you're like, you know what? We're upset that we made him sad about killing Rick Flag, so he no longer cares about maintaining peace at all costs.
Well, he feels sad for killing Rick Flag, but he doesn't seem to really think about maybe the countless other lives that he's gone through, which seems to imply children as well, like innocence.
Yes, it does definitely imply children, and more than that, the reason he was killing Rick Flag was to make sure that all of those people on the island were killed by that thing. So it's weird too in that case, because it's like, well, what? Why would I be on his side? Because he's sad specifically about Flag, and not because he was siding with the people who were like, yeah, we should just kill this island of a bunch of people.
Yeah,
an island in Cuba size island.
Just like how in the movie, you know, Amanda Waller is like 5 seconds away from just like popping their heads, and then someone just smacks her upside the head with a keyboard. So it's like, yeah, we finally got one over on that bitch. But then in this, they do the same thing by like her daughter has to come out and be like, Amanda Waller made all these bad things happen or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like she would not get to that press conference if I had to guess how things would go in real life. There's always going to be someone around the corner, like waiting to, you know, pop a head like a grape.
Yeah. Even to Waller's character, it's like, well, I guess she'll just murder her kid after this. I don't know.
I was like, I was just like, that's not, it's, you know, it's once again, it's, we gotta have our cake and eat it too. We gotta show all the bad guys get to lose. Even the ones that you're not sure if they're bad guys or not.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like, Suicide Squad really went like, this character who's amoral is now fully evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
But But yeah, it's just like, well, if this is what you're portraying here, this is such a weird way to do it where you're right. All of the characters who we've decided are bad are now losing. And by decided are bad, obviously, Waller is a villain straight up. Mm-hmm. but I mean, like, why would this be the case that this heavily secured, just heavily operative person is suddenly, like, so owned by her own daughter?
Yeah.
It doesn't...
I feel like...
That part's definitely not earned.
Yeah. Well, I Amanda Waller doesn't have a daughter in comics. It's, you know, this is a created character. For a lot of stuff is just made for the show. But, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. It you know, I mean, it's comic books. Like, whatever. None of it makes sense. But it definitely seems like... when they, it all becomes a lot more clear when the aliens decide to impart to Peacemaker about how they had populism on their planet too, and they had to leave their planet because alien Donald Trump made it bad. Like
Donald Trump told them not to wear masks, so they came here to take over.
Yeah, they're literally like, we had the same problems that you have, people who deny science. And you're like, all right, it's all becoming very clear. The bad guys have to lose. The good guys have to win. And, you know, I don't want to be like a real downer and all, but like, I know it's superheroes and all that, but it's just, it's kind of boring, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know.
It is fun to get that last little thing in there and go like, well, I guess Fauci was the villain all along in this one.
I guess at the end of the day, it's not earned. I'm happy with guys win, but it doesn't feel earned to be like, and then we were able to sweep the whole enemy team. Everyone was completely, we got a whole team kill. And I'm like, yeah, I don't, it's, you know, I just, it doesn't make any sense. It seems very like,
no, it really doesn't.
Yeah. It seems like a comfort win. It's TV for white people. You can rest assured all the good guys won win, this
the
time.
Bad guys lose. And the bad guys who were mad about for a different piece of media are losing in this one.
Yeah.
And we get a little nice crossover with our boy Jason Momoa and whoever played The Flash.
Yeah. I was wondering because I didn't quite look, but I was like, I wonder if they couldn't. I mean, they probably couldn't get.
Yeah.
I bet that Gal Gadot and name?
That's why did not return. Henry that's Cavill why we only see Jason were just Momoa. Not shown.
Yeah. Which because Jason Momoa and what's that other guy's name? It's like isn't it Ezra something?
Idea. Is it Ezra Miller who did that?
I can't remember. I thought his name was Ezra. He was Ezra, in
you're right. It is Ezra something. I don't know what. It might be Miller.
Jason Momoa is like, yeah, I'll be Aquaman. Who gives a shit? What have I got going on? So they're totally fine showing up to read two lines and be done. It's like, yeah, suit me up, boss. Or put me in a green mocap suit. I don't give a shit. But they show up to have their little quips and their banter. And then Peacemaker's good now, but his dad's ghost haunts him. And then who knows what Peacemaker Season 2 looks like. I don't see a way in which the vigilante really gets to what he has ever been written like, besides being a psychopathic killer.
It doesn't make any sense in that
the
regard.
The only thing is...
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, the only person he seems to ever want to help is Peacemaker. And then outside of that, the only actions he really wants to follow are his own, which are murdering. So don't see a world in which he seems to understand how he is part of it. he sort of just believes that he is, the cure. So
the weirder part about that is who told James Gunn about Vigilante and Peacemaker? That was like two maybe comics of the whole series. It's not Adrian Chase, by the way, who's the Vigilante. Who teams up with Peacemaker in the comics. It's fully a different vigilante. And at the end of that, so Adrian Chase tries to give up Vigilante a couple times in the series. I'm talking about that in the comics. When Adrian Chase tries to give up being Vigilante, another guy takes up being Vigilante. And for some reason, AJ and Chase is there during this hijacking that Peacemaker and Vigilante team up to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very end of it, this other guy who Chase knows, and I forget how, for whatever reason, he's like, I don't know, Peacemaker, stay here with me real quick. And he like puts his hand on his shoulder or something. And Peacemaker's like, I don't like being touched. And I think he was trying to get him to not fully stop the hijacking. I'm forgetting why this happens, but that's why. And it's even on the cover, is that Vigilante just getting fucking murked by Peacemaker, just shot up to hell, yeah. Owned in this plane. And then I think Adrian Chase tries to fight him at some point. But
that would I could see that happening in the show, because Peacemaker doesn't seem to like Vigilante at all.
Yeah, and I was wondering if that is where it's gonna head to, like they have to fight and he kills him. But it is, again, I'm just like, who told him about this? How does he know this?
he probably him or a team just researched a bunch of comics. He definitely said, get me like 50 superheroes I can toss into this movie. We're gonna fucking wipe out half of them.
It's also fun because what I saw him say about this was, he was like, this is what the Vigilante character would be like in real life. And you go, what are you fucking stupid? No, it wouldn't. But he was like, this is, he'd be a psycho like this. And you're like, well, he's already kind of a psycho in the comic. So there's that you could have relied on. But it is very funny that he's like, he'd be like this if you ask me. It's like, you are living in a cartoon land right now.
Well,
if you think that the guy would just be this weird freak who's like, I love rocking and the mermaid emoji.
Yeah.
So, no. I mean, you can admit you just wanted to write a fun character for this.
Yeah. I mean, they could have just had like another original character come out.
That's also true.
But. To think, like, I guess he, just because he thinks of that guy as that, but it's like, well, no, even all the ones that aren't, like, Batman, who, you know, are just, like, obsessed, or just any of the others, it doesn't matter if they kill or not, like, they all would be psychos in real life, because they dress up like animals, or, you know, just in weird, colorful costume. Like, yeah, of course they'd all be psychos, that's the point.
Especially, so, comic heroes have a couple archetypes, right?
Uh-huh.
There's mythical kind of ones, like legendary ones.
Yeah.
And I mean this in two senses. I mean, like, legendary in the way of, like, overpowered, like Superman, Dr. Manhattan, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the detective type, like Batman, mm-hmm. of course. Sometimes this is just the guy who fights, right?
Yeah.
Like that guy in the show, Judo Master.
Yeah.
Then there's things like... there's also mythical in the sense of, like, Thor or Wonder Woman, who are mythical in a different type of way, which relates to this other form, the kind of outsider type, like Aquaman or Namor. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Gun-Haver. And you never, ever want your character to get relegated to Gun-Haver. And that's what Vigilante, Peacemaker, Punisher, that's what that type of guy is. It's just a guy who owns a gun.
Yeah. Which then, because, I mean, not Peacemaker so much, but Punisher just becomes, like, retroactively adopted as, like, fucking the cop.
Yeah.
He's not a detective. Which is he's so a funny. He is a cop. He is not solving anything. And it's, you know, it's definitely proven he's not preventing anything either. He is just he's a serial killer, basically.
Yeah,
the Gun-Haver eventually just becomes a serial killer.
Sometimes superheroes have to, for some reason, help sometimes.
Yeah.
Punisher and other Gun-Havers is always the funniest team up.
To me, I haven't read a lot of comics, but, the funniest bit that I can think of that Punisher was part of is Civil War, when all of the heroes are like meeting in secret because they're against the Registration Act. They're like, we got to do something about this. And then like the villains show up too, because they'll be like, we'll all be put out of business. And then Punisher just fucking annihilates them. Eviscerates them immediately. Yeah. And the heroes do nothing but look at him and, like, scoldingly. And he's just like, what? And just shrugs, like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a shit about any of this.
What? What were you gonna do with it? Yeah, it's crazy.
That's the funniest bit about Punisher, is that all the superheroes are totally fine hanging out with this guy who is just a murderer. He's not like He's not like Captain America, really. He's not like
Sometimes he just hangs out with Spider-Man, even though he's just, again, a gun-haver. He's a gun-haver who happens to be a good shot.
Yeah. Well, really what it is that, like, people like to think, like, yeah, well, they'll maybe they'll talk him out of it. It's like, no, he's like a 48-year-old man who's murdering people. Yeah. There's no talking him out of this, short of, like, major head trauma.
Dude, if I was a hero, I'd be like Batman, except I'd have a gun. It's like, what a... See, this is why I, in middle school, was into Lobo. It's stupid shit for a 12-year-old to like... And then somehow you'll meet guys who are like 38 who are also like, dude, you don't like Punisher Max? That's one of the best series. And you're like, shut the fuck up. What attracts you to him? And you're like, he kills the bad guys. Yeah. You go, you should be put on a farm somewhere where I don't have to see you again. There should be a little farm where you get to run free with all of your friends who, I don't know, you get to play frisbee with or some shit.
we've rattled on long about comics here today, but the point of it is killing is easy, make it difficult, because if you're thinking that you want them to kill and also that you want to make it difficult, then what you're describing is people who have to evade capture by the police because they are murderers. Yes.
Which is what is going on at the end of the Vigilante run from the 80s. I think that might have ended in the 90s, but no, it was definitely 80s, where he's also running from the police.
Because
they're like, it turns out we don't want you killing people on the street. You psycho.
It's not to say that, like, oh, killing a superhero that kills automatically is like, well, now he's like badly
because
written. You could probably
there are some who in fact should kill, and what I mean,
like,
by
Batman.
That is just like no, but I mean, like, guys like Thor, right? Or DC has guys like, I think, Hercules, where it's like, well, why wouldn't he? We group him in with superheroes, but he is a warrior. He's a warrior god. There's no reason he would not kill.
Which is why they have Thor go to space. Because
they
have him kill aliens.
Yeah. And killing aliens is fine.
Yeah. That's why, MCU does
I've been watching Justice League, and that's a cartoon for kids, and they murder aliens just willy-fucking-nilly in that shit.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, Superman, you're one of those guys.
Yeah.
He's like, what?
Well, that's the only way you can...
blasting an alien
with
a gun.
That's the only way you can show blood on TV. That's why Samurai Jack goes to the future and has to kill robots, is because you can't have blood on TV, but you can have oil. You can have goo.
You can have oil.
You know, you can have you can have that and avoid an R rating.
That happens to come from alien veins.
Yeah. But they're not people, and that's what matters.
They're not people. Yeah. Oh, because I was telling you before this, because you were asking if White Dragon, if the White Devil really was Peacemaker's dad in the comics. And I said, like, well, White Dragon is DC. But originally, Peacemaker was from Charlton Comics, and he was, like, a later acquisition. I've been thinking about this, because Watchmen's back on Netflix, and I rewatched that. So, Watchmen originally, when they bought up the characters to Charlton Comics in the 80s, there were a lot more characters than what they bought, because Charlton, I think, mostly did, like, army comic bullshit, but... That's where Peacemaker starts, is in, like, army comics, which is why he's more of a soldier than anything else. He's a soldier who likes to dress up funny and is also not a soldier. He's not affiliated with the government anyway. He's just a guy who'll show up sometimes and be like, are you guys killing people? Because I want to do that.
If only he had his own home without a country, where him and other soldiers would not be co-opted by the government. Where soldiers would only be allied with each other and not against one another, their brothers. An outer heaven.
Outer heaven of sorts. So when they bought these characters, and that's I'll say a few. Blue Beetle, The Question, Captain Atom,
I like Question,
Judo Master, Peacemaker. Yeah, The Question, so the original comics from Ditka are fully insane. That's one of the first times a guy who's like a hero in a comic, I think it's one of the first times they kill, is there's a Question comic in the original run in Charlton where some guys were in a sewer fighting him or some shit, and he knocks them into it, and they're like, help us, we'll drown. He's like, help you? Why would I do that? And he just leaves. And it's because Ditka, who created and wrote The Question originally, was a close follower of Ayn Rand. And he literally says in that moment, what obligation could I have to you? Because it's just like, yo, this fucking psycho is like, I know who John Galt is, and I know that you are not going to pay me. And so you are worthless to society and me. This fucking weird libertarian detective. And then that's in his DC so funny, run, it's so hilarious, man. In his DC run, they change it. So instead of like this right wing libertarian psycho, he's a weird Zen Buddha kind of guy. And he rocks in that. That's because I have a couple. O'Neill, I see it on this one by me. That's O'Neill who wrote those originally. And those are great because you love a noir detective who's got no face.
yeah, it is a great design.
I get it. Why Moore was like, the Question sucks, so I wrote Rorschach, who's a guy who sucks and you're supposed to hate him. At the same time, a noir detective with a big old coat and no face is awesome. And that's why he's also so cool.
I thought when you said that, when you were saying that he was one of the first heroes they kill, because that's how you had sort of phrased it. I think you
paused. I meant like
I thought you meant that they killed him, and I was just imagining like The Question, how I've seen him portrayed in like the Justice League cartoon, and I was just like, damn, I can't believe they wrote him so annoying that someone finally just went like, shut the fuck up, and just strangled the life out of him.
He's so good. He's so awesome in the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to mention. Oh my god, I love him in that. Because they don't ask the question. He's so awesome. He's like cracking all the cases. He's like, he goes to confront Luthor at one part. He's like, well, I saw a video of a different dimension where Superman kills you, and it's clear you're setting that up, so I'm going to have to kill you, Luthor. It's just so good. And he gets his ass kicked, of course. But
I mean, because he's a guy.
Yeah, because he's just a guy.
That's the best thing Luthor about him, is somehow he's just like, whoa, he's powers. Got no face. How interesting. And he's like, yeah, that's about where it ends.
yeah, exactly. He's not even, like, wearing anything in his gloves to make him punch harder.
Yeah.
He's just literally a guy who has special clothes and a special mask.
I punch with all the strength of a guy from the 40s. Which is to say, I throw my whole body into it, and I dislocate my shoulder every time.
Oh my god, but I was talking about the Charlton acquisition. I was just saying, like, the characters. And then Peacemaker was one of them, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And what Alan Moore originally wanted to do with them, that's what the Watchmen series was going to be. It was going to be these new acquisitions. I think Nightshade is who Silk Spectre was going to be.
Interesting.
And so, And so the comedian was going to be Peacemaker.
Gotcha.
And I keep laughing thinking about John Cena in that movie.
I mean, I keep
laughing mostly picturing John Cena in the rape scene.
Oh my god. I mean, say what you want. I mean, I don't know about how he would have done in that role. I can't remember that actor's name, but he's very good.
Morgan.
Yeah.
I think it's like J. No, it can't be JD. It has to be, though. Like, I think it's like John Dean.
It's like Neil. I thought it was like Neil or something. I can't remember what that fucking guy's name is. But
I know it's Morgan at the end.
But so, yeah, I was going to say what you want about John Cena, but it's fun that he has not given up on acting. And it's like, hey, maybe it could work out for him. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, that's that guy's name.
Jeffrey Dean. Yeah. Okay, so close to... It's still J.D. Morgan, which is kind of funny, because that's close to J.P.
But yeah, no, John Cena has not given up on acting, and he might be... He's not...
He wants to be The Rock.
He wants to be The Rock, although I don't... I mean, money-wise, a goal to strive towards. Acting-wise, I would lean more to being a Batista. He's not going to be a Batista, but I feel like he would be better off aiming there.
The difference is Batista both gets better roles and is a better actor.
Yeah.
John Cena, I get striving for the Rock type thing because you don't need to be a good actor for that. And it's really quantity over quality in that area.
Yeah. John Cena, definitely a goal to strive towards to be a Rock because you'll never run out of work. You'll always be making money. But if you were, if you wanted to be like a decent actor, then let's go the Batista route. I like him in this.
And he was fun in Suicide Squad too.
It was a good role. It didn't, because like when you see John Cena,
his best role was when he spoke Chinese and apologized to China.
That was great.
That's really what I want to see more of from John Cena.
you know something that never happened in this show or in the movie, which in the movie he only had his Peacemaker outfit. He never wears like a giant pair of jean shorts. How come he never does that? Right. How come they don't put him in some?
So I think that's the beginning of our episode would be... He's in giant jean shorts, and he's speaking Chinese to apologize to China.
But he's secretly in deep cover.
Oh my god, yeah. See, we're going to follow the original cut from the comics, which is... I can't remember if they followed through with it in the 80s, but originally Peacemaker was like, he works at the UN to get peace, and he also works as the Peacemaker to kill for peace. And in this, we got him back in the UN, baby.
I was thinking because he's got all this promotion. He's been accruing more spirits. He's been accruing more like haunting spirits. So he's just going around saying that he's in the UN, but then like Harcourt and the other survivors from the Peacemaker show are just like, they're just like when they're talking to people about him, they're like, these people are like, yeah, he says that he's in the UN, and he's he's been saying that he's like working for the UN now, and they're like, he doesn't work at the UN.
He doesn't work at the UN.
He's totally on his own thing.
Don't live near the UN. What are you we're not in New York.
He just got on a plane.
He's going
and flew
to every
China.
Chinese guy he sees, and he's just like speaking perfect Chinese and apologizing for every like WAPO article and shit that's like, isn't it bad though that China isn't getting sick with corona?
He's like prostrating himself in front of like every Chinese person he can find and just being like, I'm sorry they accused you of building a sun. Oh man,
I don't believe you're ruining Disney movies. I don't believe that you're somehow keeping gays out of Disney movies. I think that it's Disney doing that.
I'm sorry that they put Rose into that Star Wars movie for you. I know. Dude, you those didn't are want like it.
Those are my favorite like Reddit conspiracies. The ones that are like time. China's actually the reason the latest Star Wars was bad. It was gonna be good, but then they decided that it wouldn't play in a Chinese market to have an actually sensical story with the black characters or any gay people in it. I think that Disney just got... I think Abrams just kind of whiffed that one. They're like, it's actually China.
Yeah, this is slightly unrelated, but the one little trait they could have added to Vigilante to make him more believable would be to have made him a Redditor.
Oh, yeah, dude. That... If they did that, I'm sold on it.
Yeah. Like,
I go, yeah, like, that makes sense now, Gunn.
Yeah, like, so Peacemaker's rogue. He's not with the Task Force X or whatever the fuck. Whatever the name of the Butterfly Squad was. And so Vigilante is like, we've got to find my... But, like, he reports to them, like, Peacemaker's gone missing. Like, he's in China. We have to go figure out what's going on. And then, like, while they're on, like, a plane flying over, Vigilante is just reading on his phone. He's like, look at this. They took all the black actors out of the Star Wars and Marvel movie posters for the Chinese market. And just, like, Economos being like, no, they didn't. That's not real.
No, that's stupid.
Did not happen. No, they did. You did. It won't fly there. They don't like black people there. They're like, no, you're making that up. That's made up bullshit.
Oh my god, just the whole time he's like staring at Adebayo and he's like, will we be able to walk around with her with us? Are they gonna arrest her?
He's just fully wearing his costume on the plane.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing, because when I read like a little bit of that Vigilante comic, I noticed that like a lot of the close-ups, or I think maybe even all the close-ups, you just like clearly see like his eyes and nose. It's fun that you can see like right through the visor on Vigilante's costume in the show as well, so you can just see like his face kind of faintly.
Oh yeah, it is fun. I do like that in the comics. You know, that's the other qualm I have with it. Change his hair color. I'm like, oh my god, he's not blonde anymore. He's not beautiful and blonde.
There's not a lot of blonde actors anymore, and I won't elaborate further on that.
No, you're right. Ever since the 50s, we cast them out of Hollywood.
I think it's because, you know, we're just trying to distance ourselves from the obvious nature of like the U.S. government being run by Nazis.
Oh, that makes sense. That's a fun. Oh, this is a fun conspiracy theory for us to build.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's like
that, like Hollywood's trying to hide the clear. White Nazi fucking culture of America by going like, you don't see them with blonde hair, do you? They don't have blue eyes, do they?
When you tell people, it'll make perfect sense because you go like, well, yeah, because like everyone in the world prior to the Nazis rising to power, they used to do the Nazi salute all the time. They used to make the kids do it, the Pledge of Allegiance, and everyone was talking about eugenics prior to the Holocaust. Like, that was, like, the big hip-happiness thing around. Before people knew about climate change, they were like, well, yeah, let's talk about eugenics. And, the Nazis made it uncool. They also made being Aryan uncool.
Yeah, exactly, dude. If there's a Chinese version of the Washington Post, I'm absolutely willing to sell our little idea here to you.
Oh man, just carrying around like a painstakingly doctoring and then reprinting a Superman comic that's supposed to be from like the 30s where Superman has blonde hair and being like, look, they changed him after World War II. Yeah. He has blonde hair and blue eyes.
Oh my god.
It's like, yeah, no, of course.
They won't let Superman be blonde anymore. That's why it was Superman originally, because Superman. The Ubermensch, right? Like,
there you
in,
go.
Can wield power. And now they be saying, you ain't allowed to be powered, white boy.
In fact, tell people, like, yeah, that's what Uber literally translates to. And they're like, Uber does it really? And it's like, moving on in the conversation.
Moving on.
We're not talking about that anymore. So Peacemaker is in China, and the whatever the team's name is, they're heading to China to find him. And this, you know, honestly, with this sort of split up like that, where Peacemaker is on his own journey separate from Vigilante, it will eventually lead to the plot point that Peacemaker just fucking blows a hole through Vigilante's head when he touches him on the shoulder.
That's true. That is true. It will get us there. Yeah. Yeah, I think that what it's gonna be is Peacemaker's in China, again, apologizing to everyone, and also...
In perfect Mandarin.
And also, he's there to investigate non-peace.
Yeah.
He's got it on his peace dar that there's a non-peace occurring in the Xinjiang region of China.
Just seeing like U.S. warships doing like military practices off the coast and being like, everything seems in order here. Maintaining peace, I see.
Yeah. And it turns out that's all American conspiracy. His own government trying to set him against the Chinese peoples that he's currently apologizing to. They set up anti-peace paneling in China to make it appear as though there isn't peace in this area he's getting led to, because that's where the poorest people in China live.
It's kind of funny that he
and they want him to kill the poorest people of China.
He's telling people that he works for the UN, but then he's also pretending to be like some type of government inspector for the Chinese government, who's going around inspecting provinces to make sure that there's peace there.
Yeah. Well,
I'm here
he's
to
got,
report on your peace readout.
It's kind of an EKG meter from Ghostbusters, except it shows him where peace is and isn't.
And it doesn't make any sense how it measures anything. No one seems to really know what it is or what it's really measuring. He says it's a peace meter, but they're like, well, we don't know what it is instead, if it's making these noises, or if it's just something that he made up, the beep.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a lot like his helmet in that spirits of peace, Gandhi and Nelson Mandela are kept inside of and yeah, we do have animated ghosts for them. They're kept inside of his little peaceometer.
Oh, that just reminded me of a terrible painting I saw when I went to the state fair the other day. I think I've seen this before, but it was a barber shop, and it had Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and Donald Trump all sitting in the chairs talking to each other.
Oh, hell yeah. Did you immediately buy that?
I did not.
I want that so bad now.
It was so goofy. I couldn't help but chuckle seeing it, because I'm like, well, no one, like, I don't really even see that point touted anymore, that like, oh yeah, they're all it's the party of Lincoln, because it's like, yeah. Well, yeah, that like everyone knows like the problems with that, but it is funny just to see like some moron fucking figure it out and be like, oh my god, what?
Oh my god,
the Democrats were the bad guys?
Did you know the Dems were the bad guys before and the radical Republicans were the good guys, dude?
Saying that is the equivalent of like getting someone to it's the equivalent of pointing out an imaginary stain on someone's shirt and then flicking their nose and running away.
Yeah.
Like it's, or tapping someone on the opposite shoulder that you're standing on and then running off. Like it's that's all that is. It's literally, it doesn't accomplish anything. You're just saying it to be annoying.
Saying that turns me peacemaker mode, and I just take out everyone in the room that was in it when someone said that. It's like, blah, blah, blah. Say that one more time about Lincoln, motherfucker. Say it. Say that shit.
Say it again.
Yo, you know who Lincoln traded letters with? Karl Marx. You be doing that? Do you be doing that?
You be trading letters?
You be trading letters with Karl Marx? You be trading letters with any communist leaders? And they'd be like, you know, actually, one time I did get a letter from Raul Castro, and I shoot him again. I go, shut up! Shut the fuck up!
So then, Peacemaker... So they find Peacemaker eventually. I mean, Peacemaker's on the hunt for peace.
Yeah, but the problem is Vigilante doesn't know Chinese laws. And so he's issuing justice American style.
Yep, those laws don't fly here.
And those laws, yeah, those laws don't fly here, they don't fly there.
Which I don't really know what specific laws he could... I mean, I think murder is still illegal there. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying to think of one that is illegal here and isn't illegal there. And I don't know. I think it's going to be kids smoking.
Because I think that they are allowed
to smoke at a younger age in China. So Vigilante's just going through just murdering tons of children and parents for smoking.
It's probably what it is that it's going to be like something weird and esoteric. It's like how it's like illegal to be homeless in America, which like it doesn't mean that there's that the flip side is that like, yeah, China's full of homeless people, but like it's, you know, it's like one of those where like he'll see something where he's like, you're not allowed to do that here. It just blows a hole in their brain.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Peacemaker's fucking peace EKG meter just fucking goes haywire as soon as Vigilante steps, because his very presence is discord.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As soon as he steps into China.
Yeah, and that's what's gonna cue up the plot to this one.
You could,
the antagonist, Vigilante, who doesn't understand laws change in other countries.
If you wanted to pretend like Vigilante and the rest of the Task Force X squad are the good guys or whatever, you could make it that like a horror movie where like Peacemaker is the slasher and they all have to run from him, and they're all like, "Oh my god, we have to get to Hong Kong Island, the only place where Western laws apply." And so it's like a race against time. They're trying to outrun. It's like they're trying to run from Jason Voorhees, but he's Peacemaker.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, Peacemaker is just chewing through these motherfuckers.
And then you can. Just
indiscriminately. He knows they're uncausing peace.
And then you can have that creative.
The first mandate of heaven.
You can have the creative murder section like they had in the Suicide Squad movie. Where, like, him and Bloodsport were competing or whatever. It's just Peacemaker trying to kill people in more and more creative ways. Kind of like in one of the newer Michael Myers movies, where they have, like, one long continuous take of Michael Myers, like, doing a Hitman level, basically, just sneaking in people's houses and murdering them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's a race against time to Hong Kong, except Peacemaker is now a man without country. And so when Vigilante gets to Hong Kong, it's like in those movies where the main character is trying to get to some goal, and as soon as they do it, they're murdered.
Yeah.
Easy Rider, for instance, I think that's what that end is supposed to be. They finally make it to whatever border they're trying to get, and that's when that like weird hit guy is like, "I'm gonna scare him," and just shoots them both, and you go, "Yo, what the fuck?" Like, yo, he definitely scared them, I guess.
Like From Dusk Till Dawn, you think the movie's over, and suddenly, oh boy, vampires.
You think the movie? Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, you think the movie's over, and then there's another 2 hours.
that movie rocks though. This day.
Nah, it's awesome. Yeah, and so like he gets to Hong Kong, and he's like, "You can't get me. I'm safe now. Also, we're best friends." And he's like, "What?" And then he's just fully, it's the scene with Jason where he gets the guy in the sleeping bag, or it might be a girl in the sleeping bag, and he like takes him to the trees and just like slamming the sleeping bag against
that was Jason. him just like Vigilante just like scrabbling on the ground backwards into Hong Kong and just being like, you can't touch me here, this is essentially Western land. And Peacemaker just being like, "Where I step, China follows."
Hell yeah. Yeah, and he like kills them, and then like what follows is this impassioned fucking Shakespearean monologue where he's like, "Truly a superhero I cannot be. I am nothing like Chinese Superman and Chinese Batman. I cannot be Chinese Wonder Woman, for I am tainted by this dark bloodlust and this dark deed I have forewrought." Just like, instead of coming to terms with it in any normal way of, like, yeah, he should be thinking through that he's not capable of being a superhero. It's just this very end moment where there's a long monologue that's fully unearned. It's nothing has appeared that it's heading towards this. It was like, "Oh my god, I'm not a hero at all." And then he like gets that shield from the show that has the Dove of Peace on it. He's like, "I'm a superhero again," and he leaves.
He does his whole monologue, and he, after it's all finished, it's just like a long moment of silence with like the wind swirling around him, and he's just covered in blood, standing in a pool of blood from all of his old friends that he murdered.
Yeah.
And then the spirits in his head just instruct him like, "Huh, some trouble to peace back in America, back in the homeland." Yeah. And he's just like, "I'm a superhero again." Just grabs the shield.
"My god, I am a hero. I need to stop unpeace."
Yeah, that's a much more, that's a fun peacemaker, because he's just a psychopath.
That is a fun peacemaker. Yeah, and that's kind of what he should be here.
Yeah. You see, here's the thing. You can make the character a psychopath, you just have to accept that he's not a good guy. But no, yeah, they want him to be a good
guy. But they can't do that. They can never do that. Again.
I'm like, no, make him Michael Myers. I'm fine with not understanding the way he thinks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just make him an asshole.
Yeah. But
because
it's just the problem of liking a character too much.
Yeah, because in the Suicide Squad movie, there's almost like no hint or indication at all that Peacemaker has any sort of doubts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
I guess the idea is that killing Rick Flagg sort of sets all that off for him. But like,
yeah,
when they show up to his cell and explain that his father trained him from birth to kill, he doesn't have like a twinge of regret for like, it doesn't show anything of like, oh, I killed my brother or anything like that. He's just like, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. He doesn't like, isn't it so cool we're going to be killing for peace? Like, I love.
Yeah.
Like, I
make
love
him a
to
psycho.
Do. Yeah. Make him a fucking little psycho, dude.
Make Vigilante the fucking voice of reason. How about that?
Yeah, which would make sense because the character was supposed to be a DA, like a former DA.
Yeah. So... yeah, so Peacemaker returns to America, setting up for the third season of Peacemaker, in which he has to murder Batman because Batman refuses to kill. So it keeps like rejuvenating the cycle of crime because Joker still exists.
Yeah, he's like, if you just let me kill Joker, and he's like, I'm not gonna let you kill some guy.
And he's like,
well,
oh,
it's
well,
Joker, it's different.
He's like, oh, I guess you're like his ally then.
Yeah,
I guess I have to kill you.
I'm sorry, don't you remember at the Nuremberg trials? What they said was, just following orders isn't good enough. And Batman's like, that doesn't apply here at all. I'm not just following orders, I'm just telling you I'm not gonna let you kill a guy.
Which,
like,
and,
Nuremberg!
that does give me the idea of, like, the only person who can, like, effectively sort of, like, outwit, at least for a little bit, Batman, is the Joker. And what's the reason for that? He's insane. So the Batman would never be able to catch Peacemaker, because Peacemaker is also insane.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I have to... He's like, Peacemaker's trying to kill him, and Batman's trying to stop him. He's just like, damn, like, doesn't matter how many batarangs I throw at him, he always seems to manage to get a gun up in time to shoot it away. Like, what the fuck? And every time I try to, like, restrain him or catch him, it doesn't matter that he's, like, a fucking 7-foot Hulk. He's just, like, fucking, he's wily, like a fucking coyote.
Oh my god. He forethought it. He greased himself up first. And now he's just wriggling out my arms every time I try to grab him.
Yeah, as soon as Peacemaker realizes the fight's not in his favor, he's just like, oop, I better get going. He just disappears. Even though he's wearing a fucking bright, colorful, fucking primary color costume.
Oh my god.
Before we end,
I did want to say about Batman and Joker that, again, because I don't really... I am glad goth Batman. And it's so funny he's like a goth. It's so funny that Pattinson looks like a guy who, like, has a Smith's tattoo. I am glad goth Batman is gonna use Riddler instead of Joker.
Yeah.
A better character, a more fun one.
Joker's overdone.
One of my favorite. Yeah, Joker's overdone. And it makes a lot more sense because the Riddler, like, is a guy who's like, I do riddles and you're a detective. Fucking figure them out, bitch.
Yeah, I don't know if the movie
would
be
Joker's
good.
Where Joker's like, yeah.
I was just going to say, I don't know if the movie would be good or not, but I have heard that apparently the movie focuses more on the detective side of Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is refreshing because.
Yeah.
None of the Batman movies have done that.
Yeah. It looks weird in that there is a moment in that trailer where he's just getting shot to hell and walking through it. And it's like, well, it doesn't... Why wouldn't he still be a guy who's, like, working through the darkness and doesn't want to get shot? But...
It's not like the trailer. It's not like an origin story Batman, but it is like a year one, year two sort of Batman.
Yeah, both of those are good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the thing about Joker is at the core of it, it's just, what if a guy was crazy?
Yeah.
And that's not a lot.
Yeah.
It's not a great core.
It's basically,
and you go, well, what is he besides that? And they go, it's a mystery. And you go, well, is it going to get solved? And they go, no.
He's kind of the antithesis to Batman because Batman can't, like, outthink him. Like, there's no level of preparation Batman can do that will allow him to just, like, be fully prepared for the Joker, because the Joker's just like, what if I just didn't do any of that? And he was like, damn it! Yeah. Didn't think anybody would think
Again,
of that.
Again, why it's, like, Killing Joke is one of the only instances he's been truly interesting, because in that, it's like, well, in a way, we're completing each other, and you're still like, alright, well, you blew up a hospital and he never did anything like that, but instead of, because it sucks so much when it's like a villain's like, we're the same, you and I, and he's like, well, we're not the same, but we complete each other, and then it's like, you are having fun too. You yeah. are a psycho too, and you're also having fun. We are both having fun here.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the Joker just wants Batman to admit that he is a psychopath because he dresses up like a bat.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just gonna say,
where the Riddler is like, solve my riddles, stupid, isn't this and that's what makes him so much of a better foil, because it's like, yeah, it makes sense that the guy who's a detective, fucking originally DC Detective Comics, the guy who's a detective is has a foil who's a guy who's like a guy who wants to stump people.
Yeah, yeah, well, he heard Batman going around saying he was the greatest detective in the world, and he was like, no, I'm smarter.
Yeah, he's like, detect this then, bitch. O-T-S.
I was gonna say, the reason that I learned, when I first learned that this new Batman movie is gonna be focused more on the detective side, I learned that because I read an article in which Robert Pattinson was ashamed or a little embarrassed to admit he had no idea that Batman was supposed to be the greatest detective in the world, which is kind of the funniest thing I've ever heard. He's like, the fuck? I didn't know that about him.
It's so funny.
Which, like, fair, if you haven't seen, like, any Batman stuff, or if you've only seen movies, it's like, yeah, there's nothing that would lead you to believe that's true.
A little wild, because the tagline to every Batman since, like, the 30s has been world's greatest detective.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're right that it's like, well, yeah, he doesn't come off as a detective at all, especially in the Nolan verse.
Yeah.
In the Nolan movies, he's not a detective at all. He's just a guy who's like, I don't know, I guess I'll fight that scarecrow looking fella.
Yeah, I feel like people think that the detective side is represented in the Nolan stuff, but it's like, no, he's like, he's using money to, like, brute force his way through problems.
Yeah.
Like,
his thing is, like, punch in, face until we're done.
Yeah, like, in Dark Knight, like, when he's, like, trying to figure out who the Joker is or, like, where he is, he's not, like, really doing detective work. He's just like, all right, I've bought, like, I own military-grade weapons, so we're just gonna fire a bunch of bullets at bricks in the middle of this fucking firing chamber under this empty lot for no reason. It's like, that he's not doing detective work, he just has money to just brute force any problem.
Yeah, and really, it's also been a problem ever since Batgirl has become Oracle, where now there's a guy in a chair, which guy in chair works for guys like, I don't know, Spider-Man or anything like that. But it doesn't work when you're like, I'm the world's greatest detective, to have a guy in your earpiece who you're like, hey, can you Google something for me really quick?
Oracle, the Joker has doctored photos of me naked in Times Square. What do I do?
Oracle. Peacemaker saying something in Chinese again. You took a lesson in Mandarin once, right?
She's like, yeah. No, but I could just, like, run it through Google Translate. Oh, God, thank you.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I know Mandarin. And yeah, it's just, again, like you said, Google Translate. She has, I think they're called, like, squids. Yeah, he's just, like, saying, and she's like, it looks like it's an apology to China. For something about Taiwan.
Batman thinks it's like some clue. What does it mean? He's like, I don't know. I have no idea how to interpret this. I don't know what this could mean, Peacemaker wants. Peacemaker basically just saying gibberish. Well, you know, I think we've written a pretty satisfying episode of
a
fun show called Peacemaker. For all of its problems... and all of its weird, stupid bullshit, it's still fun, and it's got a fun theme intro that, you know, I watched it almost every time I watched the show, so.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I think we pretty much wrapped that one up. I don't know if you have any closing statements here for the old, episode.
Yeah, I would like to apologize to China for saying that Taiwan would be the first country to get whatever movie John Cena apologized for.
It was F9.
F9, that's right.
Maybe he was apologizing to China because he's like, I'm sorry, you guys should get F9 first.
Yeah, and in that case, he should apologize. Whatever he was apologizing for, I think he should.
I think he was right to do that.
I think he was right to do it, whatever it was.
With that, this has been another episode of... Oh, wait, before I close out, you can still send... If you want to send questions, if you want to ask for advice, if you want to see your questions answered on the show, you can email us or you can DM us on Twitter. All that stuff is going to be in the description. I swear to fucking God, we will answer these fucking questions, you fucking bastards.
That's fucking right. My name is the Peacemaker, and I'm right to be.
I thought you were just going to say the Peacemaker again. And I am proud to be the Peacemaker.
And I am proud Peacemaker.
With that, this has been another episode of TV for White People. I've been Eric.
And I've been Levi.
And we'll see you next time.
Excelsior! Eric. Levi. The happiest can be. And with the situation.